Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
I tell you, Kay, you know, we've been wanting to get this individual on Meet the People of MCB. Finally, I know that you talked to her, and I don't know what kind of strings you pulled to get her on here, but I am just so happy that she's going to be our guest today on Meet the People of MCB.
Yep. As usual, this is going to be a good one. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy hearing from this person. So,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on Wanda Matlock. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning, Chip. Good morning, Kay. How are you?
We're
doing pretty good.
You bet. Yeah, that is right. Wanda, I can't tell you just how tickled Kay and I are to have you on this edition of Meet the People of MCB. Wanda, you know the kind of questions that we ask. So I tell you what, let's just...
I'm a little nervous, Chip. I'm a little nervous now.
Well, you know, we really want to have some fun today. But just think about just sitting at your home in the living room around the coffee table, drinking a cup of coffee and just talking and visiting. So we won't try to put too much pressure on you, but we do hope to have a lot of fun today. So what we're going to do So what we're going to do today is have you start off talking to us about your vision loss.
Okay. I really didn't know that I had a vision problem until I graduated high school. I was barely 17. My birthday is May the 10th, and I graduated May the 17th. So, I was the youngest one in my class. I think I was practically a baby. I always felt like I was a year behind because I graduated so early, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have a local factory and here in town, and I actually worked there during the summer when I was 16 because DAOC, it's a community action program or a corporation. They had a program where if you were 16, you know, they would place you in a job for that summer. And it was just a wonderful program. Anyway, so I worked at this factory. And then, so after I graduated high school, I went back to work at that factory. And I worked there a couple of years, I guess, but I would come home every day and my head would just be pounding. You know, I'd take some Tylenol. Sometimes I'd have to lay down for a little while and then I'd feel better. And that just kept happening. And they were going to have a layoff. And I told the ladies that I worked with, I said, you know what? I'm not coming back to work here. And they said, what? And I said, I am not coming back to work here. I said, because I think, you know, working around all these loud machines and stuff is what's making my head hurt. And so I ended up going to the optometrist, and he checked my pressure, and it was very, very high. So he sent me to, he said I had glaucoma. And so he sent me to a glaucoma specialist, and of course, I did have glaucoma, but it was called juvenile glaucoma. Anyway, juvenile glaucoma, the way it affected me is that, you know, you have no symptoms. And they say you get symptoms when you're about 14 or 15, but I didn't until I was about 17. And anyway, so that is my condition. And I had my first surgery in St. Louis at the age of 17 to relieve the pressure. And then I didn't have to have any for a long time. And then it's like, It was almost like my glaucoma got so uncontrollable. And, you know, I've listened to the interview with Mr. Daniel Legault, and I think he said he had like, was it like 60 or 70 something surgeries? And I had thought I had a lot of surgeries at 32, but he said twice as many as me. But I've had, I have little tubes in the back of my eye to, you know, that constantly drain, you know, it's, and glaucoma is natural fluid and it's normal, but it just gathers in one spot, which is in, you know, around your optic nerve. Anyway, I've had 5 cornea transplants. A lot of my surgeries have been laser, but anyway, I drove a car and worked every day and everything up until I was 33.
So are you considered a high partial, low vision, or totally blind? What is your status?
No, totally blind now. Oh, totally okay. Blind now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So how was it for you, you know, adjusting to your vision loss?
Well, I have 2 sons, and at that time, I had already divorced. I was married for 7 years, and we had 2 boys together. And my oldest son was 15, and my youngest son was 10. When, you know, when you lose your sight gradually, it's hard to pinpoint that to say, you know, I lost my sight at this time, you know. But I just say, you know, it was between, you know, age 33 and 34, because I had to stop driving at 33. And a couple of years before that, you know, I couldn't see to drive at night, but I could drive in the daytime. So, boy, you better hurry up and get home after work and drop by that grocery store and get what you need and get home before it got dark. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, my boys, they never treated me any differently. I was just mom, you know, and I think that's why I'm as independent as I am, is because they never treated me any differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Is there any one thing that after you lost your vision that you may miss more than other things? Yeah, I know your life had to, you know, was drastically changed. So is there anything that comes to mind that now, as you reflect back, something that you really miss more than anything?
Well, of course, driving, you know, that's the number one thing for us. I miss driving. I really used to miss it a lot when, you know, I first, you know, lost my sight and couldn't drive anymore. Had a car sitting out there, and, you know, just the fact that you have a car but you can't drive it is, you know, the pits. But another thing is, you know, when you have kids and you have seen your kids, you know, in my mind, I still have a picture of those little young faces, and sure. Now they're adults, you know, and, you know, sometimes I'll say, you know, come here, Chris, let me see your face. And I'll just, you know.
Okay.
Course, you know, the grandchildren, you know, I haven't seen, I have 4 grandchildren that I've never seen, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I think we all experienced that, you know, I know that I lost my sight just about a year or so after Linda and I had our first child. And then of course, mm-hmm. I've never been able to see our second child, both boys, and, you know, not been able to see any of my grandchildren, but, yeah. You know, they do tell me that one of my grandsons looks so much like me. And his dad, of course, but I would love to be able to see my family. So I know where you're coming from there, and I'm sure Kay does as well, as well as many of our listeners. So, all right. So talk to us a little bit more about your family. You shared about your children. You got brothers, sisters?
I have 1 of each.
Oh, okay.
My brother, Josh, he lives across the street and down the road a little bit from me. And I always say he's my best, you know, the best brother in the world. And he said, yeah, because I'm your only brother. But no, he's awesome. he's almost 8 years older than me. And so, you know, when I was 16 and still at home, you know, he was, you know, out and everything. And he built my first car.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
From the motor to the transmission to the, you know, to the body. He went out and got all these things and built me a car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I never had to take it to a shop to get it worked on. If something happened to it, I'll drive.
Yeah, you bet. That's awesome. Yep. Well, yeah, again, Linda and I are really fortunate like that too, because one of our sons is an auto technician. He actually works for the Missouri Department of Transportation. So, and all right, so talk to us a little bit about your sister.
Okay, she her name is Carolyn, and she lives in Arkansas. She spends her week in Arkansas and works as a sales rep, and then on the weekend, she goes to Tennessee and lives there for the weekend. So she will probably retire there. She's about 2.5 years older than me. I'm the baby, and they don't let me forget that. but that's okay. She's awesome, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I need to have a visit with your brother, because I'm similar to, you know, like him. Been in a family with two sisters. I've got a sister older than me and a sister younger than me, and being the only boy in the family, I always tell people how mistreated I was, but
yeah. See, you want somebody to commiserate with is all you want. Yeah.
So I'm going to turn it over. Go ahead.
If you call Josh, he'll talk your head off about cars and trucks, yeah, and yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. But not just that, but he can do everything. I mean, if anything tears up in my house, you know, I just call him, say, hey, I got this problem, or hey, should I buy this air conditioner unit, or should I buy this one? And, you know, he's a good advisor.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to turn it over to Kay here, but let me ask you one last question before I do that. So is your eye condition, is it hereditary, or are you the only one that experienced the vision loss in your family?
Yeah, it is hereditary.
Okay, I thought maybe it was. Okay, all right. Kay, I know you've been patiently waiting to ask your questions.
Yep, patiently? Wow, okay, there's a new concept for me. I'll try that out someday. So you were talking about your family, which I think it's really cool when people get along with their family and they're still kind of close by and you can talk to them and all that. So that is great. What is your work history like? You know, did you go to college after you graduated, or, you know, what, obviously you started telling us about working in a factory type situation. Where did you go from there?
Yeah. Okay, I was talking about that community action agency that had that program that let you know, kids, if they were 16 years old, they could go to work in the summer, which I thought was a great program. It was called Job Training Partnership Act, and Chip might remember that from a community action agency and up in his area years ago. But anyway, This corporation had, it was an umbrella for several different programs. It had a weatherization program, a family planning. It had childcare feeding program. It had a Head Start program. But anyway, so I went to work there. When I told those ladies at that factory that I wasn't coming back to work, I meant it. I went to work for DIOC. And I started out as a receptionist. I was the JTPA bookkeeper. I worked in the fiscal department for several years. And then I went over to the Head Start program, and I started out as health and nutrition secretary. And then the nutrition coordinator job became available. And so I applied for that and got that job. And that was, I learned so much working for that program, because I'm sure everybody's heard of Head Start, you know, the program for 3, 4, and 5 year old children. But now I hear they have infant programs and toddler programs and all that. But I did that for 9 years. And my job as coordinator, I had a supervisor, and she and I together, we planned the meals, ordered the food, and we had a warehouse where we had, you know, delivery people that would deliver all the food, because everything was, you know, home cooked back then, for 16 schools over the 6-county area. And back then we had, in the Head Start, it was 1,237 children.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was on the road a lot. And when I wasn't on the road, I was in the office doing a lot of paperwork.
Well, that's really neat. When you lost your vision, I assume, did you lose your job then, or did you stay on with them in a different capacity, or stay in the same capacity, or change completely?
No, I resigned, because, you know, I had had every time I had a surgery, as long as, you know, I still had one good eye that I wouldn't have any problems with, mm-hmm. you know, I could go ahead and go back to work. But when it starts affecting both eyes, and then your vision gets so bad, you know, it just got so bad that, you know, the recovery time was longer. And I was off for like, they held my job for a whole year, you know, hoping that I could come back, but
yeah.
I just couldn't do it. And not knowing the technology that we have today, you know, I just went ahead and resigned. And at that time, you know, my kids were 15 and 10, so I never got to be home with them. I always worked, you know. So that was the time when I could be home with them. And when my youngest son graduated in 2002, he went into the Marine Corps. So I had bought some property, and thinking that, you know, that one day they might, you know, want to build a house, or, you know, have a mobile home or something on this property that I bought. But neither one of them didn't want it. So I just bought a modular home and I moved over here. And it was a good move for me because my brother lives right across the street.
So you said move down here. Where were you before you built the home and moved? Were you in the same area?
I was about 3 miles further down. I live in a subdivision now. And where I did live, I was right off the highway. And, you know, I used to get with my vision being as it was, that road goes out to the river and gets a lot of traffic, especially in the fall during harvest season. And, mm-hmm. you know, people would want to stop and use my phone because they'd have a flat tire. You know, it's back before cell phones and all that. You know, we're talking 20 years ago, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And so, you know, I got a little nervous, you know, because you want to help people, but then you're afraid to let them in your house, you know?
Yep, yep. I get it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I just thought, well, I'll just buy a house and move over here. So that's what I did.
Well, there you go. So here you are going from basically totally sighted to blind. How, mm-hmm. what did you do, you know, to adapt? And then how did you find MCB? Maybe they are related, maybe they're not. I'm kind of curious as to what you did at that point.
Okay, yeah. Before, where I lived before, I would have to pass Miss Marie Thompson's house. And I know a lot of your listeners out here remember Miss Marie Thompson, just an awesome, sweet lady. Mm-hmm, just, mm-hmm. But I knew her kids were my age. She has two girls and they were my age. So I kind of knew her and knew her kids, and I would have to pass her house going to work. And sometimes she would ask me to stop by, and maybe, or she would call me and have me write down a letter, and she'd ask me to type it up, you know, something that she needed for Delta area or whatever. And I did that a bunch of times for her. So I kind of knew of Delta area without knowing about Delta area. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would do stuff, you know, things for her, and she would tell me about it and stuff. But I never did join because, you know, I was busy raising kids and working.
Right.
So that's kind of how I knew about Delta Area. But but after I moved over here and I got set up and everything, then I felt like I could start working on myself because my kids were raised and, you know, on their own. So I went through Rehab Services for the Blind, and I went to Lions World. And I told them, I'll go for 30 days and just see what it's like. Well, you know, the first 2 weeks, they put you through a orientation process. So, you know, they had me making up beds and packing suitcases and ironing clothes. And after 2 weeks of that, you know, I went to my counselor and I said, I don't even remember what his name was, Howard something. Anyway, I said, if this is all you have for me to do, I'm out of here. And So the next week, I think that was on Friday. So the next Monday, I was in Braille 2 hours. I was in mobility 2 hours. I was in what they call keyboarding, which I really didn't need that. And computers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had me like just doing three different classes, but doing like 2 hours in each one. Because I think he knew I was frustrated because, you know, I told him, I said, I've been doing this for years, packing suitcases and making beds and cooking. You know, I don't need these things.
Right, right. So and anyway, so now they got into some classes that you could actually use.
Exactly. And, you know, they offered, the only thing that I was really interested in would have been the IRS program. But then, you know, they didn't know where they were going to place me. California, Kansas City. I didn't want to do that. I just, you know, just bought a new house. You know, just, you know, didn't want to move. So I ended up, I found out that I could be a child care provider, a licensed child care provider. So I went to the state of Missouri and I did that, got my license. And I was licensed to keep 10 children, but I ended up just keeping 2 little girls, and I kept them for about 3 years.
Okay. I was going to say, taking on 10 kids, you're a braver man than I.
Oh, no. I don't think I could do that. But anyway, but after that, you know, my mom started getting sick with a little dementia, and so I thought it was time to give that up. And my brother and I, we kind of took turns taking care of her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then you met Marie. You knew Marie, and so she got you kind of introduced into Delta Area. And what was the progression there? I mean, and from what I hear, you became president rather rapidly. So how did that all happen?
I did. Let me see, I started in, I joined in 2011, and Miss Marie Thompson, she had been the president, and she moved to St. Louis. And so Christy Ryan was vice president at that time, but Christy had cancer, and I think a lot of your listeners might remember Christy from camp. Christy, and she had a son, David. So Christy ended up passing away, and so therefore I ended up being president and just resigned from that position this past year.
Wow. So your involvement in MCB is not just president of Delta Area. You've been involved in several different offices and things like that. You want to talk about that?
Let me see. For committees. Most of the time that I was president, except for the last probably 4, maybe almost 5 years, I was on the board. I served on the membership committee with Denny. I was on the sensitivity committee with Patty Shamal. I finished out a term for someone, on the budget and finance committee. I was chair of the scholarship committee for 4 years, and I am now doing, I'm chair of the membership committee.
Wow.
Member at large.
That's really great.
I mean, not member at large, member of the month. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did I say member at large? Member of the month. I'm sorry.
Well, you said membership.
I didn't even catch that. Okay. Yep. It's all good.
Good listening, Chip. So, hey, at least Chip, you know he's not asleep.
That's right. That's a very good thing, too. So, Chip, would you like to ask some more questions? I know you've always got questions in the way.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, over the years, Wanda, you and I have really become really close and really good friends, and I can't tell you how much I evaluate our friendship and, you know, get to know you more. And, you know, your involvement with MCB, I mean, your ties with this organization has just been really tremendous. And I know all of our listeners love you and appreciate what you're doing. And the fact that you brought back Member of the Month, we didn't have it there for a brief period, but you brought it back. You believed in the program. And so we're really thankful that you did that. So tell us a little bit about that. What was it? Why was it that you wanted to bring that back and do something with it again?
Well, you know, I just noticed one day, I thought, you know, where is Member of the Month? I never see any Member of the Month letters, you know, that, you know, used to go out. And I miss reading those letters and seeing those people be recognized because, as you know, we have a lot of great people out there that work behind the scenes and have for years and have never been recognized. And I think they should be. Naomi Sewell was president at the time, and I called her and asked her about, I said, Naomi, did this program, did y'all just, you know, did it go away? And she said, no. She said, we just can't find anybody to chair it. And I said, well, I would like to try, you know, if you allow me to. And she said, that would be great. And so here we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's great. So, yeah, we're really happy that you brought that back because it is such a really an important program. And we need to honor, you know, individuals that has poured their heart and soul and life into the organization. And you're really doing a fabulous job with that. So also, Wanda, I wanted to ask, yep. So is there any of the services and programs that MCB offers or provides that has meant so much to you, just like with the Member of the Month and some of the other things that you've done? What other type of activities that you really enjoy that MCB offers or provides?
Well, you know, everybody loves camp, I think, or a lot of people do. And I took my oldest granddaughter. I think I took her for probably 4 or 5 years. And then last year, I took my 11-year-old granddaughter. And then this summer, I plan to take, she's 12 now, but her brother just turned 11, so I plan on taking him. You know, I didn't have enough nerve to take them both at the same time. No, I actually thought that, you know, with her, I wanted to do everything that she wanted to do. And with him, you know, he's a little boy. I want to do everything that he wants to do. I didn't want to take them both together and end up, you know, them pulling me in two directions. So that's my plan for this year, to take him. And so summer camp's a great program. We have a lot of great programs. I enjoyed chairing the scholarship program. That is so helpful to people that want to continue their education. I mean, adaptive technology, of course, that's great. That adaptive technology helped me get my computer, my new computer. I mean, we have great programs.
Yeah. Yep. I certainly do agree. And last year's MCB State Convention, which was held in St. Louis, you received a special award during the banquet that night. What was that all about?
Oh, I did. I almost fell out of my chair. You know, I had just got done with the Member of the Month awards, handing those out, and I thought, okay, now I can sit here and eat some food. And I was just sitting there eating, and then, you know, I don't want to say I wasn't really paying attention, but I was really paying attention to my food that was on my plate. And then I heard my name, and I thought, really? But I didn't know why I heard my name. And then somebody had to tell me, and I got it. Oh, Jeff, I was so excited and so surprised. And I still can't believe it. It's a beautiful award. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Wanda, with all the kind of things that you've been involved with in MCB, you are certainly deserving of that award. And I'm just so happy that you finally got received that award, because you were certainly deserving of it.
And you know, that was kind of fun giving her that award, because mm-hmm. she was absolutely, you were absolutely totally clueless about that. And I made sure of it. She wanted to know who it was. I actually told her that somebody else got the award. I just thought, you, no way, you're not gonna. And it was just, it was fun, because I knew she was thinking, wow, okay, whatever. And so it was a lot of fun to give that mm-hmm. award. You were definitely deserving of it. Mm-hmm. And boy, we sure had fun with it. I guarantee you that. Yeah,
you bet. You bet. Wanda,
well, I couldn't have been more surprised. I tell you, I just really couldn't. And I didn't even know what to say when I got up to speak, because, you know, it was so unexpected.
Well, those are the times that we really love it and appreciate it, because when we hand out those awards and, you know, to individuals, oftentimes, I mean, there's totally unexpected not to, you know, get an award. So, and you were one of those individuals. So, I want to also, Wanda, I know outside of MCB, I don't know how long you were on the board of directors for your independent living center. What was that experience like, and how long did you, or are you still on the board of directors?
I got a phone call from a staff member. I think it was like back in 2009. And, someone asked me if I would, you know, apply to be on the board, and I said, well, you know, I don't know anything about it, but I will apply, and, you know, if I don't do a good job, I guess I can get off. But I did. I applied, and they voted me in, and so I have been president of Bells, Boot Hill Area Independent Living Services. And then I am currently the vice president.
Oh, wow. Still today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Very, very good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You know, I'd like to see more of our brothers and sisters who are blind, visually impaired involved with the independent living centers in their areas. I worked for the Joplin Independent Living Center for over 20 years. And I was also on its board of directors for a couple of years before I even started working there. So because, you know, sometimes these centers seem to, or at least the word is about them, that they focus so much on people with physical disabilities, and now even some of them focus so much attention on developmental disabilities and forget mm-hmm. about those that are blind, visually impaired. So that's why I feel that it's so important that we need to have people within our community serving on the board of directors, you know, with these different centers. So really glad that you've you know, taken time to you know, serve your center in your area. So that's really great. Now, also tell me, Wanda, now, aren't you also a consumer support provider for Missouri Assistive Technology?
I have been in the past, but I haven't done that in a long time. In my area, you know, I live in a small town, and there's some people that need that training, but, you know, they just won't, you know, admit that they need it or accept, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you know how that is. You got to come to it on your own.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did that. I trained probably 4 or 5 people in the JAWS commands and stuff, emailing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, okay.
I really enjoyed that. I still help my brother. He's always doing something to his computer.
Yeah.
And so we do payback, you know, he'll do something for me and he'll say, I'm sure, you know, you'll get paid back when you have to come over and work on my computer.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Kay here in just a second, because I know she's got one last question that she wants to ask that she always asked, you know, the people that we interview. But before we do that, I also wanted to know, is there anything within MCB, now that you've been a member for well over 10 years, is there anything from the time that you joined to today that maybe has changed or we're no longer doing? Or is there anything that you see that you would like to see us doing? Any ideas about thoughts that you would like to bring to the table that maybe what we used to do in the past that we're no longer doing, or any ideas about what you would like to see us do for the future?
That's a hard question, Chip. leave it to Chip to give me a hard question. You know, we have a lot of committees. I don't know exactly how many. How many, Kay?
Last we knew, right around 28.
That's a lot of committees.
Yeah, it
is. You know, sometimes I think about the committees, and I think, you know, how maybe some of them could be put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking about taking them away, but maybe have one, you know, just one committee handle like two committees. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And because, you know, if you think about some of the committees, they're not all year long. They just take up like a few months out of the year. Just for an example, like scholarship, you know, people start applying in February and then in May it's over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. You know, well, and so all there's left to do is for the chairperson to, you know, do the reporting there in, you know, at the convention, and, you know, their job is basically done. So, you know, that's just an example. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of other ones that, you know, you don't have to be worked on all year. And that's one of them, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that Eugene did, was actually take all of our committees and put them into groups. And we do see where several committees could actually be, you know, brought together, because a lot of what they do is very closely related. That's right. Something that we're actually looking into. And so, you know, Chip and I would have to agree with you on that. There's a lot of committees in this organization, and sometimes keeping, you know, tabs on what's all going on with all the committees and are they as effective as possible is tough. It really is.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, I know how hard it is to get people, you know, to say that they say, yes, they will chair this committee, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe somebody that would do it, you know, Matt would take on, you know, two committees that are, you know, similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You want to ask your questions?
I sure do. So, Wanda, what is it, or what is there about Wanda that nobody really knows, except for maybe friends that are really close to you? Something that you might have done, something that you like to do, could be anything, hobbies, things from the past, who knows? But is there something really surprising that Wanda is about that nobody really knows and that they might find interesting?
I don't know. I like to do a lot of hobbies. I like to read. I only read at night, though. In the daytime, I'm usually busy. I like to crochet. I got into macrame. Been making a lot of hanging baskets for, you know, the flower pots. And I'm even going to make a hanging table to put, like, in a corner or in front of a window. And then I started making, this is kind of strange, saw a YouTube video about sleeping mats for the homeless. And they're made out of plastic bags. And you, of course, you don't just take the bag and crochet it. You have to prepare it. You know, you got to cut the ends off and you got to cut it into loops and loop it together, make a chain out of it. And then you crochet it and it makes like a mat for, you know, the homeless. So I'm hoping to finish that and, you know, maybe do some more. And I don't know where I have to send them to. The video I was watching, the lady, well, a whole group of ladies in Kentucky that was doing it. So I don't know where they actually get sent to, but I think that's a great idea. You know, it keeps that homeless person from having to lay on the ground or, you know, on the street. They have something to lay on to keep them dry.
Huh. That's kind of different. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you can use to crochet with. And I guess I never thought about plastic loop, but I could sure see how you could chain them, because we used to make rugs out of those loops that, you know, you used to make pot holders out of when you were a kid. Right, and we chained them together like that, and we'd put them in a loom and make them. So yeah, I could see where you could crochet. That would be kind of interesting.
You know how we call the crochet yarn, we call it yarn? Well, they call this parn, for plastic parn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be darned. That's neat.
I know. It is neat. It's just, but I even thought about making one for my grandson. He could put like in his tent, he could put it on the bottom of the tent and then put a sleeping bag over it for extra cushion.
Yep. Yep. Huh. Well, good for you. That's neat. I love asking that question because you never know what somebody's going to say. And so that's a neat addition.
So I have one more thing. You know, people ask me sometimes, how do you do your makeup? And they're actually talking about my eyeliner. And I usually just say, oh, well, you know, thank you. You know, they say it looks so perfect, but it's tattooed on there. It's permanent makeup. So there you go. Big secret out.
Uh-oh. That's the way to do it too, boy. And you always know it looks perfect. Yep. Well, good for you.
It's always perfect.
That's awesome.
That's something that I always used to wear when I could put it on myself. And then when you got I was really making a pretty good mess of it. I thought, you know, there's got to be something better. So I went and had it tattooed on there.
That's cool. Good for you. That's probably the way I do it too. One time and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank you very much.
Yep. And you can do blue or you can do green but I just have the black, you know. So.
Yeah. Huh. All right, Chip, I'm going to hand it back over to you.
All right. So in closing today, Wanda, what kind of words of encouragement that you would like to share with our listeners? You know, sometimes we have individuals that are newly blind and, you know, or you know, kind of going through some anxiety, or maybe you've got individuals who are long time having been blind and are frustrated, you know, maybe not quite have adjusted to their blindness. What words of encouragement would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, I'll tell you something that my mom used to always tell us when we were kids. You know, she would say, well, you know, why don't you go do this? Well, Mom, I can't. And she would say, can't never did do nothing. I used to hate to hear that from her.
Yep.
But, you know, that's what she meant. As long as you say that you can't do it, you can't do it.
That's right.
But that's what she would say. Can't never did do anything. So I'm turning into my mom, Chip.
Yeah.
Well, aren't we all? Go ahead.
And then Miss Marie Thompson, she used to always have a saying too that I will never forget. She used to say, "Each one help one." So, you know, it just means that if there's anything you can do for anybody at any time, do it.
Yeah.
Very
good. Well, Wanda, thank you so much. Go ahead.
And then, Chip, I just have to tell you this. I always enjoy seeing your emails at the end. And when you always, you know, it's always on there, you know, please be kind to one another, because we all know that there needs to be more of that going around.
Yep, you bet. Well, Wanda, thanks so much for sharing those encouraging words. And especially thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
Oh, you're welcome, man. I wasn't half as nervous as I thought I would be.
See, it wasn't that hard, was it?
No, and Chip was nice. I knew Kay would be nice, but I didn't know about Chip.
Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, have them contact me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Until next time, y'all have a blessed week, and we'll catch you right back here in another week. Bye-bye for now.